Welcome to the Church of England's weekly podcast. In this week's programme, we'll be hearing about new Lent reflections which have been released this week, and also we'll be finding out why the Bishop of Chelmsford has been washing a lifeboat. But first, MPs have voted through a bill that will allow the transfer of DNA from one woman to another in an attempt to stop a range of inherited diseases in embryos. It will mean the children will have DNA from three people, and it's caused huge debate in the media over the last week. In 2012, the government asked the Human Embryology and Fertilisation Authority to find out the views of the public on two techniques for the replacement of the mitochondrial cells. The Church of England contributed to the consultation process. Its National Advisor on Medical Ethics, the Reverend Dr. Brendan McCarthy, says the Church isn't opposed to the science, but has different opinions on the techniques.
It is potentially an amazing piece of science, and what the Church of England has been saying and what it has been saying for a number of years is that it's certainly not opposed in principle to the science or to the techniques, because there's more than one technique involved in actually doing this, as long as they can be shown to be safe and as long as they can be shown to work. At the moment, what we've been saying is we don't think that threshold has yet been reached. In addition, as you rightly mentioned, there are ethical considerations that need constantly to be looked at and debated and discussed again and again. And we're not entirely sure that sufficient debate on the ethics of this has yet taken place. But mostly we're looking at questions of safety and efficacy. What we said in our submission to the Department of Health with regard to these regulations last year is that this activity sits somewhere in between organ donation and changing the hereditary characteristics, the germline of an individual. Now, it sits somewhere in between because it is a germline modification. Once this happens, it will be passed on from generation to generation. So in that sense, it's a little bit like changing hereditary characteristics. It looks as if what we normally associate with hereditary characteristics, you know, the colour of your eyes, the height you're going to be and so on, won't be affected by mitochondrial DNA, although it's not absolutely certain that that's the case, but it looks as if that won't be so. So in that sense, it's a little bit more like organ donation. So it sits somewhere in between.
In a blog jointly written by the Bishop of Swindon, Lee Rayfield, and the Reverend Dr. McCarthy, they say the Church has a duty to think about the implications for human identity and responsibility, which is something the Mission and Public Affairs Department has taken a keen interest in with regard to assisted reproductive technologies. Brendan McCarthy says the Church of England believes that more research needs to be done.
The Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority, which is the arm's length body that would take on responsibility for licensing any of these practices, said in its report in 2013 that it believed that further research was needed in a number of areas before any possibility of a license could be brought into effect. And in the House of Commons, just over the past 2 weeks, the government has confirmed that there are 9 outstanding areas of research identified by the HFEA that as yet have not been completed. So what we're saying is, let's have those areas of research completed. You know, these aren't things that we've said ought to be done. The HFEA okay. has said this needs to be done. Let's have all of that on the table, and then let's look at introducing the regulation.
The legislation now proceeds to the House of Lords, and if you want to read the blog by the Bishop of Swindon and Brendan McCarthy, you can go to the front page of our website and look for the link in the blogs box. The Church of England's Chief Education Officer has this week said there's no such thing as a neutral education, with every school's values being implicit or explicit. The Reverend Nigel Genders was speaking to the Commission on Religion and Belief in British Public Life. He explains more about his comments.
When people are discussing the question of schools with a religious character, they often assume that there's some sort of neutral education and we're adding things onto that basic neutral starting point. And the point I was making was there's no such thing as neutrality in education. Everybody is providing their education from a particular position, a set of values and beliefs. So, for instance, secularism is itself a belief position. And what I was saying is that in Church of England schools, we're simply being transparent about the belief system that underpins our schools. We're not saying it's the only view. We're not saying it's the only narrative. We're just being clear about what the Christian narrative is and saying that our schools will always explain to students and to children that there are other narratives available, but that we are seeking simply to underpin our schools with that Christian narrative. That's why our schools are not faith schools for Christians, but they're Christian schools for all.
With Lent just around the corner, you're being asked to take part in a new initiative called Wash Day, which aims to make a difference to your community through some kind of washing-related activity. In a moment, Sarah Merrick from the Diocese of Oxford will explain more. But first, here's the Bishop of Chelmsford, Stephen Cottrell, who launched the campaign by washing a lifeboat in his diocese.
On the night before he died, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And I suppose ever since then, it's been the vocation of the church to respond to the needs of the world in loving service. And that loving service can express itself in all kinds of ways. So, for instance, there are homelessness charities up and down our country. And sometimes they just do simple things like wash somebody's clothes. But think of the big difference such a small act of service makes. That person's clothes are washed and cleaned. That makes it easier for that person to get a job. That person gets a job and their whole life is transformed. Well, today we're launching Wash Day, a challenge to individuals and churches up and down this country to make a big difference by small acts of loving service.
The Bishop of Chelmsford, Stephen Cottrell. Sarah Merrick now explains how you can get involved in Wash Day.
The Wash Day campaign is all about getting churches to get out and make a difference in their community by carrying out some kind of act of washing as a free act of service to make the world around them a better place.
How did you come up with the idea?
Well, it was a couple of things, actually, last year. First of all, you'll remember, I'm sure, the ice bucket challenge last summer where people were competing to do silly things, having icy water thrown over their head. And that was quite fun and caught a great deal of interest. I also heard last year of a church in LA where the congregation has a project which involves working with homeless people to do their laundry. And it's both doing the laundry together, but also sharing a meal and a kind of sense of community, of kind of really getting alongside that community. So we came up with this idea of Wash Day, that it ties in really well with Maundy Thursday. It's a reenactment of Jesus washing the disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday. And we thought there are all sorts of really easy ways people can get out and wash and have fun and tell the Easter story all in one go.
So how can people get involved?
Well, you can go and look at the website, www.washday.org. There are a couple of little videos there which should provide some inspiration. There are also a whole lot of resources that schools can use. They're designed for Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 to be used in school to get children involved. Because the great thing about this is it's brilliant for all ages. And we want people to use their imagination. It might be that in your community, it would be great to go and do some car washing, or you might like to go into a homelessness shelter and do some washing, or go and wash up at a community centre, go into an office and wash all their mugs, or it could be that you're going to wash someone's dog. It's about using your imagination and having fun and just making a difference.
And you've got the Bishop of Chelmsford washing a lifeboat.
We have, and also doing some laundry as well. So he's supporting us and encouraging people to go and get involved. And I think our thought is that very small acts of service can make a big difference to people. So we'd say use your imagination, go and do it, take pictures, post them on our website and tweet using the hashtag #WashDay15.
What do you hope people will get out of it, both the people who are doing the washing and the people who are having stuff washed?
Well, I think it's about churches serving their communities in really practical ways and being visible out of doors, getting their hands dirty, really out of love. So I think that's just a very good witness for people to do in their communities. And I think also people love receiving free gifts. So it's about making a very practical difference to someone's day by doing something for them.
Is it a specific day you want people to do this?
Well, I think our original thinking was it was a Maundy Thursday thing because we're reenacting the washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus. Obviously, for a lot of people, that's difficult. They'll have other things on. So we're very much encouraging people to do it at any time during Lent and in Holy Week, whenever suits them, really. The idea is that it's incredibly easy. It's an easy thing to do. So we want to remove any barriers that might stop people doing it and to work when it works best for them.
And you can find out more by going to the website www.washday.org. A new series of Lent reflections has been released on smartphone apps this week, and for the first time it's available to Android and Apple users. Last year, the Reflections for Lent series became the top-selling book app on Ash Wednesday. Thomas Alain Chapman from Church House Publishing explained more to Tim Mayo.
We've had a total of over 130,000 downloads, and it's growing each year, and there's demand for people to access material for their spiritual life, you know, on the go, wherever they are. And smartphone is something that increasingly many of us have with us all the time, and it's a great and convenient way to get yourself ready for prayer, reflection, wherever you are.
Why did people tell you they liked receiving them this way as opposed to in a more traditional way?
Well, one of the big advantages of the app is that it opens on the right day. It knows what part of the year you're in, and it saves you having to flick around, use bookmarks and all that kind of faffing about. So in some ways, it really does declutter your prayer life. And the great thing about it is because there's no space restraints, whereas in the book version of Reflections for Lent, lovely as it is, we can't fit in all the Bible passages for the day. On the app, you just click on it and all the text is there. So it's very, you know, compact and convenient. And as it's within the app, it's actually sort of distraction free, which is obviously in our digital age, it's easy to get distracted. But the app gives a good way of really enabling you to focus on just what you need for a bit of prayer and reflection in your day. I think the best apps do one thing really well and enable you to focus on that thing at one time. And Reflections in its app form gives you everything you need. It gives you the Bible text, and it gives you a really short, pithy reflection and a prayer for the day. And just being able to focus on that, making that moment in your day for prayer and for reflection, can be really valuable as part of your Lenten journey.
And the reflections themselves, can you tell me a bit about them?
Well, they are written by some wonderful writers, including Lucy Winkett, Ben Quash and Francis Ward. They dwell on the readings in Lent. Often, you know, it's in Lent, there are some of the more difficult, challenging passages. We get a lot of Jeremiah and a lot of warnings. It's interesting, though, reading the stories, although they're obviously set in a very ancient period, a lot of the warnings, a lot of the issues that he confronts are ones that are very much part of everyday life today. And I think the range of authors we've got are great at drawing out that real nugget of wisdom, that the way in which those ancient texts touch the realities that we face today.
That's it for this week's podcast. Next week, with General Synod taking place in London, I'll have a roundup of what's been happening, including the launch of the new Churches Mutual Credit Union. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.